Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today's episode, we're going to talk about life insurance. Enjoy! I'm terrified, there's no more waiting. I'm running out of what comes next. But if your job's I'm gonna hate, living paycheck to paycheck. Like my parents, and their parents, and their parents before them. I should be happy, I have no personal effects. But I've got my encore, I'm back living on their floor. Welcome to the Age of Jeremy. My name is Jeremy Quintanilla. I am the founder and CEO of Q Consolidated Limited. We focus on investing and creating businesses in media and entertainment, finance, investing and insurance, education and e-learning, art, music and the humanities, earth and human sustainability, and advancement in earth and space exploration and transportation. Our current businesses include 3T Warrior Academy, Q Financial, Age of Radio, and Merlin, the smartest way to track your crypto, just to name a few. You can find me on all socials at Age of Jeremy, except on X, it is Age of Jeremy Q, and on Facebook, it is Cesar Jeremy Quintanilla. Also, make sure that you subscribe to my YouTube at Age of Jeremy. There are links in the episode description below. If you are new to this podcast, this is all about the trials and tribulations I go through to build my business empire and hope you pick up some wisdom along the way. I also have guests that share their trials and tribulations, becoming content creators, and the adventures they have gone through to become entrepreneurs. If you want to get Coach CJV's financial blueprint, there is a link to my link tree in the episode description. It is a warrior's guide to financial freedom. It's absolutely free. Please also join my Q Consolidated channel in my Age of Jeremy Instagram account. It is now called Dope Updates, I think. I provide extra insight in there on things that I've gone through in business and in my life. Hopefully you will find some wisdom in it. It's free to join. Also, make sure to check out ageofradio.com to see all of our amazing podcasts and subscribe to our Age of Radio YouTube channel, where we have a new live streaming show called Cos Talk Live with the amazing Jinx Cosplay and Thermo Cosplay. You can see their lives once a month on that YouTube channel. You can also see their other content that they have on their YouTube channel, and it is Cos Talk Live if you want to subscribe to that as well. All of our podcasts, we are getting loaded up into that Age of Radio YouTube channel, so you will be able to find everything in one place, but that doesn't mean that you can't find all of our podcasts in your favorite pod catcher. Also, make sure you follow, or I guess subscribe or join, our Addicted to Podcasting Facebook group. We do fun stuff in there. I do a show called Showcase that showcases someone in the group and all the great content creation that they have going on. I try to do that once a month in there. And we also have our Textisode Thursdays, where you can join in on a fun conversation about whatever we decide to do on the Textisode Thursdays. So we are always trying to engage in that channel as much as possible. But if you are a content creator, join the channel. You can share all of your amazing content. Obviously, we're trying to stay family friendly, so make sure that it is appropriate for most ages. And also, if you are an audience member of a show and you want to jump in there and share that show, that is awesome. It's really a place where content creators and content consumers can connect and learn from each other. We also have all kinds of chats around podcast questions, all the stuff going on in geek culture or in podcast culture. So make sure that you check that out. We're also really focusing on podcast news, so make sure that you follow the Age of Radio Instagram channel. Again, these are all businesses that I own. I know it's a lot of stuff, but I have a lot of amazing stuff going on, and you should be a part of all of that amazing stuff as well. All right, I'm not going to go through a news article today. I actually want to talk about life insurance, mainly because I've been thinking a lot about I'm not as big of a influencer as my partner, obviously, Coach CJV or Coach JV. I call him CJV. I don't call him Coach CJV. And so there's a lot of stuff where people are always kind of attacking us, especially because we mix spirituality with everything that we do. And I think that that's how it should be. I think the two topics that should always be talked about as much as possible are actually politics and religion and maybe philosophy. And we hardly ever talk about those things because we're taught at a young age that you never talk about politics and you never want to talk about religion because you don't want to offend another person. And the thing is that people need to be less offended and have adult conversations about their political belief systems. I had a fantastic conversation today with Coach Jackie. I am very adamant about communism and anarchism or anarcho-communism. And I believe that Marxian economics explains a lot of how capitalism continuously goes through these cycles. And when I was talking to Jackie, I was like, I'm not trying to press my opinions on you. I was just kind of leading you to kind of where some of how kind of communism spread, how it got to El Salvador and things of that nature. Because it started with a conversation really about El Salvador and somehow opened that up because obviously I'm from El Salvador. Well, I'm not from El Salvador. My father's from El Salvador. I'm the first of my generation that was born here. And because of that, I try to stay up to date with what's going on in El Salvador. I would love to visit El Salvador. But I was talking to her about some of the problems that I have with Nayib, who is the current president of El Salvador, and how he is kind of moving and acting towards a kind of like a dictatorship with the way that he got his second term. And I'm not going to go into that here, but the point is that we had a great conversation about it and neither of us went away being mad or, you know, at the other person, right? I'm very, a very big proponent of abortion. And I think that abortion should be legal across the entire United States and not just, based off of what state that you are in. It shouldn't be a state right. It should be a right that we hold that everybody in the world personally should be allowed to do. That's my opinion. And I have some, you know, kind of thought of why that should be that way. But anyway, the point is that we never really talk about those things. And so a lot of people, when we talk about Buddhism and I talk about, you know, Buddhism bringing you lots of wealth and utilizing that wealth to one, spread Buddhism or to teach Buddhism or give that money back to the community or whatever the case is, people are like, well, you're religious, you shouldn't want money. And that's ridiculous. All people should want and enjoy the things that they like and enjoy. And gaining wealth should not be looked at as evil in the sense of you utilizing and growing wealth and making wealth and then creating the communities that you want to create. And I truly believe in that. And that's why it never bothers me about making a lot of money or creating a lot of wealth, because my plans for it are altruistic in the sense of what I'm trying to accomplish. But at the same time, I don't live a lavish lifestyle. So I guess that maybe people don't think that I live a lavish lifestyle. And they're like, oh, well, he doesn't have any money. But anyways, the point is that a lot of people come after us and a lot of people have been really coming after us more and more in regards to the life insurance that we talk about. And we sell life insurance. I'm a life producing agent and I don't talk about it as much as say maybe my partner does or that we talk about it inside of our Warrior Academy. But I think that life insurance has a place and part of everybody's financial situation. And the thing that we try to do is we're trying to share in all of our businesses and all of our content that goes out into the world, the things that we're doing, and hopefully you can learn from it. And so I have a financial firm and I, you know, share the tribulations that I go through. And one of the tribulations that we go through is always people thinking that because we talk about a specific product or that they see people talk about a specific product and bad things that happen to that about that product, that they're not going and educating themselves about that product, in this case, Index Universal Life Insurance, one. And then two, I personally am a proponent of not only Index Universal Life Insurance, Variable Universal Life Insurance. I'm a proponent of possibly people being in a 401k, depending on what they're trying to accomplish, individual retirement accounts. Do I like 401ks? Absolutely not. Do I think that there's a reason why you should have one and maybe you shouldn't have one? Of course. And the point is that people need to really educate themselves on all of the products that exist and see how those products might fit into your financial into your financial portfolio that you're trying to create. And we don't spend enough time on that. And I don't know if I did a post or if I did a live. I don't know where I was talking about this, but I went and I read the the couple weeks ago at the library. Oh, it was during our business book club. And there's all kinds of free education that exists in the world for people to go and understand retirement accounts, for people to go and understand bonds, for people to go and understand investing, for people to take those chances on different types of products and to learn about them so that they can build their own financial, you know, future. And yes, we should rely on advisors to an extent, and we should definitely get advice, but you need to know enough about the things that you are buying and getting so that you feel comfortable with them. And secondly, the more that you know about it, the less you're going to likely be taken advantage of from somebody who ends up being a bad actor in that space. And when we say bad actor, it just means, you know, like a bad person in that space. And so I wanted to take some time just to talk about a little bit about life insurance, just to kind of open everybody's mind up to the possibility of it. Not necessarily that I want you to reach out to me for me to talk to you about life insurance or to reach out to one of our wealth protection specialists. You obviously can, because the links are in our the episode descriptions. But the point is I always want to educate. My goal is to educate people, because that's the thing that separated me. That's the thing that changed my life. And I'm a very big proponent of that. That's why when people say that you shouldn't go to college, when you shouldn't do this, I don't agree with that. I think every single person, if they want to be better off in life, no matter what, they should go to college and get an education. If people don't go to college and education, do I look down upon them? Absolutely not. It may not work out for everybody, but it is still one of the greatest things or that you can do essentially to move yourself from a poverty stage to a middle class stage. Does that mean that billionaires are made from people with college educations? Yes, there are a lot of billionaires. In fact, there are more billionaires that have college educations than there are billionaires that don't. And there are definitely more millionaires that have college educations than don't. But that doesn't mean that people can't become billionaires if they have a great innovative idea. But I am a proponent of people going to college. And there is nothing that anybody can say or anybody can do where I will not say, hey, look, maybe you should think about going to college for this, this, and this. It's not necessarily just to go and make money. There are all other kinds of reasons to go to college. And if you follow me on TikTok, you know that I'm a very big stance on that. But life insurance is something that they don't teach in college, right? And the thing about college that I think is the biggest return on investment is your ability to understand and how to do research. Not only research from a Google level or from a search thing, a search perspective, but also research from an academic perspective where you can go and find information out in the world and make an assessment and then decide on whether or not that's good for you. And in the things that I talk about, that is really what I'm trying to accomplish, is by sharing information with you so that you can either take that information, make a good decision, or more importantly, to listen to what I'm saying, going out into the world and following up with that, finding if that makes sense for you, or if you can understand it, see if it fits into your paradigm, into your life, and use that information for yourself and hopefully move yourself forward. And so I just wanted to take some time just to talk about life insurance in general and what kind of we're talking about when it comes to life insurance and the main different types of life insurances and the benefits of them. And so on the surface level, life insurance is a contract really between an individual and an insurance company. It's really designed to provide financial protection to the beneficiary. So for instance, family members or whoever you want to use as the beneficiary. Now, when we're talking about getting more creative with how to use life insurance and trust, there are things that you can do from an estate planning or from a trust planning perspective where you can utilize the trust to feed from the life insurance policies to grow and grow and build that trust. Like a lot of people talk about on social media with the Rockefellers, right? So when all the Rockefellers had a lot of money, the children, they all had life insurance policies on them when they passed away, not the children, but when they were adults, they passed away. And then all that money kind of went back into the trust, or the trust would loan to the individuals, a life insurance policy would be taken out on that person, that loan would be paid back from the life insurance policy. Okay. And that's going a little bit more complicated, but essentially it's just really to financial protection to beneficiaries. And essentially the insurer promises to pay a designated sum, right, in premiums, known as the death benefit, in exchange for, the insurer, so the person providing the insurance, agrees or promises to pay a designated sum known as the death benefit in exchange for premiums paid by the policyholder during their lifetime. Okay. And so on that level alone, just on that thought process alone, every single person in the world should have insurance. Because if you die and you have debt and you're married, that debt goes to your wife. If you have, if you were the main provider for the family, you need to make sure that they can be taken care of while the other person, the spouse, goes and figures out what they're going to do with their life, right? There are lots of reasons why to have life insurance. Does it need to be indexed universal life insurance? Maybe not. Who knows? Every single person has a different thing that's going on. And so the reason why it's important is because of the death benefit. When you pass away, there's money that gets pushed out by the insurer, and that money is used to help the family do stuff based off of that person that was doing stuff inside of that family. And so when we think about life insurance, there are two main types of life insurance. So there's term life insurance and there's permanent life insurance. So term life insurance is the kind of stuff that you kind of get from your employer usually, where it's set for a specific period of time. So for instance, it's maybe a 10-year policy, a 20-year policy, or a 30-year policy. It's typically less expensive and it has no cash value component. So for instance, you're paying $200 a month, it's $1 million. I'm just using these as examples. You're paying $200 a month. There's $1 million death benefit. And when you pass away, that $1 million goes to whoever you said were the beneficiaries. Now, if you die, unfortunately, outside of that term and you didn't renew that term, then no one gets anything and you have nothing and there is no cash that's built up into it. Okay. And so most of the life insurance that we think of is term life insurance. It's kind of like how your car insurance works. Okay, it's the same exact type of thing. There's term life and there's a term on your car insurance and you have to pay for that term, and then that term re-ups. The premium probably changes based off of what's happening in the marketplace, or maybe you get younger and you know you hit a certain age and they have discounts on the insurance and the it goes down. Same thing goes for homeowners insurance. The same thing goes for fire insurance, for flood insurance, for tornado insurance. All of those are based off of terms, and then the premiums change when that term is up based off of whatever the risk factor is that's associated with that, you know, whatever the insurance is for. The other type is permanent life insurance, and this is usually the one that gets the weird rap. So this type offers coverage that lasts for the policyholder's entire life, and it includes a cash value component. So there's a death benefit, say $1 million, and then you're also paying, right, other extra money, I guess, for it to kind of have a savings component to it. So for, let's say that the premiums are generally higher in this type of life insurance compared to term life insurance. But the thing is that not only do you have $1 million that's built up and you have that forever, you're also paying more. And some of that is going to a cash component. So we traditionally call these things cash value life insurance. Okay. And it's the cash value life insurance is a category of permanent life insurance that includes the savings components, which can accumulate value over time. So the policyholder, or the person that has the policyholder, can use the cash value for various purposes, such as borrowing against it, withdrawing cash, or even paying the policy premiums on it. So there are different types of cash value. So let's talk about this. So you have the piece, there is like $1 million. And let's say you're paying the premium for the life of the insurance. And at the end of that, not only do you have $1 million of a death benefit, you also accumulated, say, $100,000 or $200,000 of cash. Now, through as that cash value is getting increased inside of the life insurance, right? You can borrow against it, you can withdraw it, and you can use it for other things. So it's almost like, well, it is, it's having a savings account. Okay. So you're like, okay, well, why don't I just have a savings account and then just get term life insurance? And that might be the better choice to do depending on what it is that you're trying to accomplish. So when we talk about cash value life insurance, there's different types of cash value life insurance. So there's whole life insurance. So whole life insurance provides a fixed death benefit and cash value component that grows at a guaranteed rate of return. So when you're doing that, it's going to be, say, you're going to put in $500 a month, so much is going to go to the premium, and then so much is going to go to the cash value. And that cash value, the insurance company says, that's going to grow at a 2% return. So if you put, you know, $100 in, at the end of the year, you have $102 because it was 2%. Is that exactly how it's going to work? No, because depending on how it's the interest is compounded, it might be more or less, but for the sake of be trying to explain it. That's essentially how it would work. Now, you also have something called universal life insurance, okay? Universal life insurance, or ULI, offers more flexibility with premiums and death benefits. Its cash value earns interest based on the current market or a minimum interest rate. So this will have a, this will be tied to, say, a market. And if that market it has a return, then you will get a return based off of that market return, or you'll get a minimum interest rate. Okay. So that's the basic of a universal life insurance. And again, I'm not going super deep into it. Again, I'm not trying to get you to set up a call with me. It would be great if you wanted to. That'd be fantastic. But more importantly, I want you to open up your mind to learning about life insurance. I'd also love for you to open up your mind to learning about stocks and bonds and ETFs and warrants and options and buying businesses and buying franchises. It's all about educating yourself in all of the financial world, how to make money in that financial world, and how to set yourself up in this lifetime to not only set yourself up for when you retire in this lifetime, but also for your children and your children's children and your children's children. Then there's also variable universal life insurance. It allows the policyholder to invest the cash value in various accounts with different risks and potential returns. So variable universal life insurance, or VUL, usually has different accounts that you can put the cash value in, and you also have the ability to invest that money that's in that account in different things like stocks and so forth, okay? And so usually VUL, they not only have to be licensed with the life insurance, but they also have to have some type of series 65, a series 7, where they have the ability to give you the advice in return, right, for the payment, to tell you what to invest in the life insurance policy, okay? So that's whole life insurance, that's universal life insurance, and there's variable universal life insurance. And then there's index universal life insurance. So index universal life insurance ties the cash value growth to a stock market index, say the S&P 500, providing a balance between growth, potential, and risk management. So this is the one that we talk about a lot because there's lots of value to this, and it's a lot more, in my opinion, it's less complicated. I'm just being honest. In my opinion, it's less complicated than having a VUL. Now, I am a type 1 diabetic, so life insurance is difficult specifically for me. So I'm in the process of trying to figure out how to get the IUL started, and then I'm going to get also a VUL. That's just me being open and transparent, just because I have to have a certain A1C. You have to have a carrier that's going to allow you to be diabetic, and it causes a bunch of other fucking problems. But the point is that index universal life insurance, as you're putting the money into it, right, you have the ability for that money to have a death benefit. There's a cash value inside of it. There's a certain return that they will, for the most part, guarantee you to some extent. And then if the market does not have a return, right, there's usually a minimum on it and you can't lose your principal. And that is one of the biggest benefits to a lot of these different life insurance policies, because you have the ability for your money to grow without losing your specific principal. And again, the whole idea behind this is being able to have protection against your financial future and your children's financial future, that if something happens, that money can be passed down to you. That's why a lot of the times we talk about it, we're talking about protecting your wealth, right? And protecting your children's financial future and your financial future or your family's financial future. Just like when we buy insurance on a house, we're talking about protecting the house and the future of your ability to live in a place. And so insurance is very, very beneficial, and it's all about risk mitigation and risk management. And so variable universal life insurance, because I love stocks and I love bonds and we can have different types of returns and an investment portfolio, you can have that component inside of your life insurance. And again, I'm not going to talk too much about the VUL because I'm not licensed as a Series 65. I am licensed as a life insurance, but I don't sell that type of life insurance because you also have to have some type of series for it. And so it's really, really important to remember that these are insurance policies. They're not retirement vehicles. They do have a saving component, but at the end of the day, life insurance is about financial protection to beneficiaries. It's not something that is utilized specifically for retirement and does not have retirement benefits that the IRS gives to retirement accounts. They fall under life insurance. So all of the IRS rules and laws relate to this specifically, or relate to life insurance specifically, right? Because it's not a retirement product. Now, again, this wasn't specifically exhaustive. I wanted to open up your minds to the different types of life insurances that there are. And again, I personally like index universal life insurance. I personally like variable universal life insurance. That doesn't mean that every single thing is going to work in every single situation. I'm also a proponent of people having a brokerage account that is for investing in stocks and bonds and ETFs and learning about options and investing in those things. Does that mean that it's right for everybody? Absolutely not. But I think that when we close our minds off or we spend all of our time focused on specifically social media and getting all of our media from social media without either sitting down with a licensed insurance agent or researching it on our own, we can end up not being able to make the best decision for ourselves. And that's why educating yourself is so important. So I highly recommend that you go and you learn how life insurance and insurance in general should be a part of your overall financial structure or your, I guess, family planning, I guess would be another great way to say it, and not solely rely just on the stuff that you hear on the internet. So again, I hope that you learned a little bit about life insurance from this and it entices you to go and learn even more about it and maybe seeing how it should be part of your plan. Because at the end of the day, life insurance should be a part of every family's, I guess, the premium in the budget, and then a part of everybody's plan for life. Because we have insurance for our car, we have insurance for our house, we have fire protection insurance. I don't know why I'm stuck on fire. I think I like fire protection insurance because that's the kind of like the first type of insurance I think that we created in Britain. I think I like the history of insurance and the financial industry. Do I think there's all kinds of fucking shit wrong with it? Of course. Do I think we can work to make it better? Absolutely. But the nostalgia of it always intrigues me. But point is that insurance needs to be a part of everything, and we're missing out by not having life insurance. So whether you end up getting term life insurance or one of the permanent life insurance with the cash value buildup makes sense for you, you should have it as part of your plan, and it should be a part of your regular financial review and planning. So again, as I always say, be thankful, grateful, and kind, and we will talk to you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to The Age of Jeremy. If you liked this episode, make sure that you like it and also subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it right now. And also make sure that you subscribe to my Age of Jeremy YouTube channel. Again, the opening song was Brave Faces Everyone by Spanish Love Songs. The closing song was Threatening Each Other by Recapitalism. Threatening Each Other Recapitalism by Illuminati Hotties, and I use Neumann microphones. I use the Zoom L8. I record onto Cubase, and I use Waves plugins. And one last time, be thankful, grateful, and kind. Bye.